Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips for you from Jart McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then with the open water fishing season fast approaching on us now, on this week's show, we're talking spring fishing with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Jim Leahy. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get ready to ride. Hayward Power Sports has 2023 Polaris off-road vehicles in stock and ready for action. Plus, during the Polaris Spring Do More sales event, there are even generous incentives offered for the first time in years. Adrenaline junkies, feel the unbridled freedom of the pure speed and power with a Polaris RZR 1000 XP Ultimate offering a rebate of $3,000. Or do you need a side-by-side that's a true workhorse? Then the Polaris RZR 1000 Premium is it and comes with a $1,500 rebate. Hayward Power Sports even has the machine that started it all, the Polaris Sportsman ATV, with a $500 rebate on select models. And don't forget, we can help customize your machine to match how you use it. The options are endless, from a winch, plow, cab, heater or AC, to racks, gun scabbards, track kits, and more. These are all brand new 2023 models, and stock is limited. Don't miss out. Come see us at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
For complete program details, see Hayward Power Sports. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu, and while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle with Jared McCarthy in here. And Jared, good to have you on the show here, as usual.
Yep, good to be back.
Hey, regular fixture here. I always start having to pay you pretty soon or something. I don't know. But anyway, let's talk about spring fishing. I mean, I think the ice fishing is pretty much over, but there are always going to be guys that are going to sneak out there no matter how hard it is to get out.
Absolutely. Whether they're sneaking out on late ice or they're, you know, throwing the planks out to get on the ice, we've still got, you know, a handful of guys that are headed out looking for crappies and perch and bluegills and stuff out there. But, yeah, there's definitely some opportunities to be had on the ice yet, but I think if we get some open water here pretty quick, you know, I've already been seeing a lot of boats coming out of storage.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's time to start thinking about that. I'll talk about that a little later with you here, too. But the thing is, there's going to be a lot of open water showing up, and some of the first open water probably going to be up on Lake Superior if you guys want to get out trolling. But we've got people heading in the Mississippi River and people go to the Rainy River. I mean, and there are a lot of options, but it's going to start right here pretty soon.
Yeah, it really will. You know, even I was in one of the rivers around here yesterday. You know, we just had a nice bug hatch, so those trout are going to start going. But yeah, it's coming up real fast, and we're happy for it.
Don't have to wait for the opening day. Opening day will be the first Saturday in May, which I believe is the 6th. But, you know, that's a ways off yet. And if we get open water a week or two ahead of that, there'll be some good fishing out there. And they've got more options now in the last couple of years. We can go bass fishing as well as fishing panfish.
Yep, you can go bass fishing, but a lot of those guys are going to be out targeting panfish. And a lot of those fish are going to be super predictable. They're going to be moving up into that warm water. So, you know, you let that sun come up and heat the water up in the early part of the day, and then you just go look in those back bays and those coves where that water's warming up the most, and you're going to find fish.
Yeah, you know, especially the panfish. The bass, and a lot of times the bass, until that water really starts to warm, the bass will kind of hang out on a little bit deeper structure, but they'll kind of, especially a smallmouth, they tend to really pack up in bunches. There'll be a lot of them on one piece of structure. If you can find that, like a rock hump that's maybe 15 feet deep, around 25 feet of water around it or something. But
you know, that's a pattern that works every year.
Yep, it is. You know, and a lot of those fish are going to be into that pattern, you know, as soon as the ice goes out. So if you can get out there to where those fish are, you know, it'll be a couple of days after the ice goes out for them to, you know, kind of get reacclimated to what's going on. But those fish will be there.
You know, the one thing, too, a lot of people think is it'd be mass movements of the fish, especially like smallmouth. And I've read off a lot of data out there, studies that the bass, when it's hatched on a bar or a shoreline, it very seldom goes very, well, a few of them do, but very, most of them stay very close to that structure, whether it's in the winter or the summer. So you don't have a big area to cover. If you got a favorite smallmouth area, you just start looking a little bit outside of that.
Absolutely. Just cover it with a whole bunch of different techniques. You know, pitch in there for some aggressive fish and then slow it down a ways, you know. So if you've got a small body of water, or a small area of water to target, you know, it makes things a lot faster.
You know, and for bass tactics, you know, we talked about, you know, with Ned Rig was really hot a couple of years ago. It still works, still catches fish like crazy. But, you know, the drop shot technique, not only for bass, but for panfish and for walleyes, everything. The drop shot, I've started using drop shot a lot more because of catching a lot of fish on it.
Yep. I've been using drop shot for a couple of years now, fishing for panfish. I like to fish big bluegills with my drop shot rigs. But, yeah, whether you're fishing for bass or panfish, it's just an awesome way, you know, and I think a lot of people underestimate the ability to cast that bait as well. You know, it's a great way to work a bait in a single area with your sinker on bottom or what have you. So, I mean, casting it or vertical jigging it, it's a great option.
You know, it's interesting, too, if you watch, you put a plastic bait on there, and if you watch a video of what's going on down there, most of the time you're fishing under 20 inches between the bait and the leader on the, or the sinker on the bottom. And you watch a video, as soon as you lift up on that thing, that bait will rise up, and then when it hits bottom, it'll slowly start to sink down, the bait will start sinking. So you're staying in that strike zone area, and it's kind of like, think of it as a slip bobber tactic, where a slip bobber, you're always going to have a preset depth from the top of the water down. So if the bottom changes, your bait's going to vary up and down. Whereas with the drop shot, you're in relation to the bottom. If you set it at 18 inches or 14 inches or whatever, you're always staying that distance from the bottom at the most.
Yeah, it's a great technique, you know. A lot of times, yeah, I'm in that 12 to 18 inch range off bottom. That little sinker, when I fish bluegills, that's kind of unattractive. You know, you ruffle up that bottom, and then you've got that bait that's hanging out just overhead. But it's a great method, and I don't see enough people using it.
You know, and you mentioned rustling up the bottom. You know, it's a tactic a lot of guys use ice fishing, but it works in the summertime too. And, you know, I've said this before on the show. I don't care whether you're running live sonar, like Garmin LiveScope or any of it, or you're running 2D sonar or side imaging. For the most part, them fish are on the bottom, tight to the bottom, they disappear on you.
They do. Yep, they're hard to see down there. So getting a little commotion down there, getting everything going, you know, to get those fish to rise up and take a peek at something, you know, it's a big deal.
And if you were watching the Bassmaster Classic, they had a live feed from Gustafson's sonar on his boat, who won it. It was kind of interesting. He'd hit smallmouth area, and he kept jigging with that jerk shad he was working, that shad. And all of a sudden, you see the fish come up out of the bottom. That's something I see all the time. You get it down there, you're working, whether it's live sonar or whether you're using 2D sonar, you get down the bottom and there's nothing down there, but then you start working that jig off the bottom, hit the bottom a couple of times and bring it up, and a lot of times you'll all of a sudden start seeing fish on your sonar.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good tip to keep in the back of your mind when you're running those sonars.
You bet. Well, talk about a couple other things here. As far as gearing up for the summer, we talked about getting the boat ready, and a lot of people don't do it. They just, you know, how many times you go to a boat landing, somebody's stuck there and the boat won't run?
Every time. I mean, especially at the beginning of the season, you know, if you've got the time right now, go in, get your boat ready so you're not one of those guys that's causing a line at the boat. Oh, we see it every year. But either way, yeah, it's a great time of the year to go in and get your boat ready and make sure you've got everything, all your T's crossed and your I's dotted. So, break the stuff out, dust the, you know, get the dust off it and get ready for opener.
As far as running your outboard, make sure it runs. The first thing I'll say is I was an outboard mechanic for many years. Do not run your outboard without having water to it, because unless you want to be replacing your water pump sooner than normal. But you've got, they like to call them the earmuffs. You've got them here, and you put earmuffs on it, and you can run that and fire it up. I mean, you got those in your Marine department, I think, too,
Yeah, absolutely. We got the earmuffs that are over there. You know, all you got to do is hook your hose up to it. And, you know, whether you're in the garage or in the, you know, driveway at home or what have you, you can make sure everything's working out perfectly. So, yeah, there's no excuse for having your all your gear ready when you head out there the first time.
And speaking of that, everybody knows you got bait gear here and you got the bottle shop over there, but you also carry a lot of stuff to get your boat ready, and from electronics to trolling motors to miscellaneous boat hardware and stuff.
Yeah, electronics, oil, trolling motors, yeah, your oil. You know, you got everything you're looking for, like your dock line, your bumpers, you know, boat cleats, everything like that, you know, sea foam, anything that you're looking for, all the way up to whatever it is you're fishing with that day.
I know you guys are a giant undertaking right now, just getting things ready to go, switching over from winter to summer and spring. And you'll have all that stuff out here as we're talking, probably another week, maybe?
Yeah, probably another 2 weeks. You know, we're doing a good job getting everything out and getting everything up and looking nice right now. So, yeah, give us a little bit more time, but we've got a lot out already, a lot of cool stuff to come in and take a look at. But, yeah, we'll be ready.
Jared, I want to thank you for taking the time to share like good information with us. If anybody needs information on area lakes or whatever, they can stop by here, because almost everybody here fishes like crazy.
Absolutely. We've got a couple of people in here who have caught a fish or two in their lifetime. So, yeah, we've got some advice to give if you're looking for some.
Well, thanks, Jared.
Thanks, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we'll be talking spring fishing with Haywood Area Fishing Guide Jim Leahy. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, at Hayward Bait and Bottle you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. Check out their huge selection of muskie baits, and again this year, they've expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Make the deal of a lifetime on a new Lund from Hayward Power Sports. Save over $21,000 on a fully loaded 1975 Pro V Sport. Or we've discounted the 2075 Pro V Sport Limited over $34,000. We have remaining 2022s, and the brand new 2023 Lunds are here with more arriving weekly. From the 1650 Angler SS, that's ideal for fishing small bodies of water, all the way to the 1875 Impact XS, that's perfect for family fishing for up to six people. Get your new Lund today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, one of the people I get on here from time to time is a Hayward area fishing guide, Jim Leahy. I had a chance to talk to Jim the other day, and we were talking about spring fishing. Jim, you know, it's been a long winter, and everybody's looking forward to spring. Once we get to spring fishing, some pretty good fishing out there once the water opens up, even before the fishing season opens.
Yeah, we just need some warm weather, John.
You bet.
Some rain. It's crazy.
You bet. Well, let's talk about that, May fishing starting out. Well, one of the things that everybody goes to, walleye fishing, and it's a jig and minnow bite for the most part, but there's other options too. But when looking at jig and minnow, what type of area is he going to start looking in?
On the flowages, I like to fish any place that has a water intake, like the rivers. And you can kind of look for the points and the flats that are close to the rivers. And those fish that go up the river, when they go back into the big water, they're going to concentrate on points, the rubble, the gravel spots.
Well, they concentrate on, you know, those areas are type of areas that a lot of fish to go into. But there's also a population of walleyes in any body of water that will also spawn on the main lake body. And that's a little bit different again.
It is. The flowage has, and you know, for instance, the flowage having seven natural lakes within it, a lot of those fish will spawn on those bars and the shorelines with rubble. And I like to fish those as well. Those spots, I like to use a jig and a minnow, but if it, and or a plastic. But if it's the time of the year, it depends on water temperature too. But if, like this year, if I have a feeling this year the fish will just be finishing spawning with that May 6th opener, and they're going to be super shallow. So a jig and a minnow will work. And then in the evenings, I like to throw crankbaits, slow moving, like a husky jerk or a bigger Rapala with a bigger profile. And, you know, that's a low light presentation. So what I like to do is fish them in the daytime, find out where they are and then I can kind of look at the shoreline and determine where they're going to come in to feed. And the spots that they would feed would be bars that actually, they're not your typical mid-lake bars, but bars, points that have a little gravel rubble on them and or little bars that come out from them.
Shoreline connected.
All shoreline connected stuff. Adjacent to deep water, but more flats. Nothing too drastic. You know, nothing that just drops down real quick. Just a gradual slope, kind of a... They serve as like a feeding shelf for the walleyes that time of the year. And if you can find a shoreline that's got like a bog, a piece of a bog blown up up against it, or some old vegetation, then that's going to attract. That's the warmest water on the lake is the shallow stuff. So, of course, that's going to attract the insects, which is going to attract the bait fish and the walleye, and game fish will follow, and that's what I kind of look for. But it'll be, like I said, it'll be interesting this year with, I think the water we're going to have a full pool on most lakes. So, that comes into play. And then of course you have the natural lakes, and the natural lakes, I do the same thing on those, the Clearwater lakes. I like to fish, the bars on those and rubble shorelines, and where I know that the walleye spawn. And
a lot of people tend to go to deep water right away after post-spawn. They think that the bigger fish move out deep, but in actual fact, in a lot of lakes, the bigger fish will stay shallow. It's warmer water, there's food there, they'll stay up shallow, and the small males will be the ones that'll go out deep.
Exactly. You know, I think the bite typically on a typical opening weekend is on the Clearwater lakes, you know, 12 to 14 feet, maybe 16 feet is considered shallow on our Clearwater lakes. And on our flowages, we're talking 3 foot to 8 foot. And that's the water that I would concentrate in. Yes, there are smaller fish in that deeper water. Sometimes when you get a big concentration of boats on a bluebird opener, yeah, some of the fish will get pushed out of that shallow water into the deeper, and then but they'll come back to feed shallow.
Well, a lot of things relate to the temperature, and I think your temperature gauge is the most important tool you've got when it comes to going out there in the early part of the season.
Oh yeah, you're gonna, you know, look for the warmest water. It's pretty simple. And you know, as far as, you know, the north side of the lake typically has the warmest water, but that could be the north side of a bay. But if the north side of the lake doesn't have the inputs, you know, the water coming in and the other factors, then that's not going to, with the walleye, it's also related to their spawning areas. So you have to kind of put it all together. But warm water, definitely. And that's what makes the afternoons with the crankbait bite a little bit better, because you have the daytime to warm up that water 3, 4, or 5 degrees, and that makes a huge difference. And then, you know, with casting crankbaits, you can cover a lot of water. It's a slow retrieve this time of the year, or that time of the year, but you can cover a lot of water. And don't go too small with your crankbaits. I see a lot of guys using little tiny, you know, 5 and 7 Rapalas. If you're using floaters, you want to use 11s and 13s, a bigger profile. There's really no bait that time of the year that's really too big as far as a crankbait. Yeah, with a jig and a minnow, you don't want to use a giant sucker minnow, obviously, but with a crankbait, you've got your three sets of trebles, and they get hooked pretty good, and that larger profile is what I like to throw.
I think a lot of times, too, because people think it's colder water and we're going to fish slow, whether it's a crankbait or a jig, but a lot of times I think people are fishing way too slow. I mean, these fish will go after a pretty aggressive presentation.
You know, they're feeding. So in shallow water, the only reason that I'd be going real slow on my crankbait is simply because if you go too fast, you're going to snag up on the bottom. You want to keep right. that bait about a foot off the bottom. So you have to kind of know the depth of your bait. But, you know, most Rapalas are in that 3 to 5 foot range. So if you're, you know, sometimes you start out that retrieval a little bit slow, but then you can pick it up to get that depth, you know, and keep your rod tip low right to the water. And little tricks like that, that, you know, they take time to learn, but it's certainly a good way of getting walleyes, even opening day, you know, throwing crankbaits. I like a jig and a minnow bite. I love doing that. And in the daytime, bite, you know, or a slip bobber with a fathead or a trap minnow, that's a great presentation. But when it comes to low light conditions, you'll probably see me throwing some crankbaits or some plastics out there, something I can work a little faster.
Yeah, you know, and that's usually my mode of approach too, is I believe that you can start with a faster, more aggressive presentation and slow down when you find fish or if you need to. But if you start out really slow and think you're going to go faster, sometimes you're wasting a lot of time that you could have been locating fish by moving quicker.
Yeah.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll have the second part of that talk we had with fishing guide Jim Leahy. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey, folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and bore sight it for you, too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700.
Hayward Animal Hospital is a full-service medical and surgical hospital featuring on-site laboratory, digital and dental x-ray, in-house pharmacy, and online store. Dr. Ostrander has 40 years of experience dealing with illnesses, injuries, surgery, and dentistry. Hayward Animal Hospital offers urgent care appointments and emergency surgery daily. Please call early in the day for these appointments. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Jim Leahy.
With the opening day, we always get some fish, but I'll tell you what, the second, the third, and the fourth day of the season, I'm getting way more fish because I'm kind of fine-tuning my presentation. Every year is a little bit different, you know, but and the spots tend to be the same, but it depends on the spring that we're having. Also, you know, there's some springs where the fish are distributed throughout the body of water, and then there's other years where they've just finished up spawning, and you're going to concentrate on rubble and moving water and that type of structure.
Well, you know, and there's not just walleyes up, but just about every kind of fish is going to be up in that shallow water. You can find some really good action for largemouth and for northern pike and for panfish. The early part of May, the one exception on that one might be smallmouth. They tend to bunch up a little bit deeper, waiting to come in, but a lot of fish are up in that under 8-10 feet of water.
Oh, yeah, that's what makes it exciting, catching, you know, northern pike are great eating and, you know, they're fun to catch and they fill in for that fish fry. And, you know, largemouth bass on some of the lakes are legal to keep. And, you know, a lot of times we get some of the biggest crappies of the year on big Rapalas, which is amazing. We're talking 11 and 13 size Rapalas and Husky Jerks, and we're talking some bigger crappies. So everything's kind of hungry that time of the year. You don't know, you know, you could hook into a muskie, all kinds of species.
Well, I use a lot of Berkeley Gulp Alive for crappies, and especially we use them little one-inch minnows and a little small bait. But if I really want to get into some bigger crappies, I'll switch over to the 2.5-inch and even the 3-inch gulp sometimes, because if you open the mouth on a 12, 14-inch crappie, it's a pretty big mouth. You can get something pretty big stuffed in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, these guys, a lot of times they'll say, well, we caught this by accident fishing walleye, and it's like, well, I don't know. Sometimes it's not an accident. Those bigger crappies like the bigger baits.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, we're talking more aggressive type presentations, Chippewa flowage especially, but it works on all lakes, is a common jig spinner like a beetle spin. Those things are incredible what they catch. I've had some of my best crappie fishing on the Chippewa flowage in the early part of the year throwing a beetle spin.
I like the beetle spin. I kind of save it for when the weeds are just coming up or the weeds are pretty established. Don't use it a lot early in the year, but it is a great bait. And, you know, I use the bigger ones. I use the 1/4 ounce, and simply because you can control the depth a little bit and you can get a longer cast with those. I learned that from an old guide from the Hayward Guide Service, Ray Blank. And he told me, you know, we were talking beetle spins, and he showed me the beetle spin that he liked, and it was a 1/4 ounce white. And that was just to control the depth a little bit and to get a longer cast.
Whether it's a beetle spin or a jig, too, the one advantage to go on a little bit heavier is it makes you move the bait. And sometimes if you're fishing a 1/16 or a 1/32 ounce, you're fishing too darn slow.
Yeah, you know, there's times for small, and, you know, but like I said, I don't know how many times we've caught, you know, 13-inch walleyes on baits that were half of, you know, 6-7 inches, or, you know, big walleyes on musky baits.
Yep.
That, you know, that happens a lot every year. You know, bulldogs, we've caught, you know, on the large bulldogs, we've caught 24-inch walleyes, and that's a pretty big bait for a 24-inch walleye to grab, but they grab them.
You bet. Well, they're predators, and the instinct tells them to jump on something for food. And I know there's be a lot of good fishing coming up. I'm looking forward to this year doing a little bit more early bass fishing if I can get out before the season, because the bass fishing should be good in the end of April here if we get some open water, because the smallmouth are pretty active out there.
They are. You know, I guess that's a big if on the open water, but the I don't think that there's a, we've had years that we've had way more ice. This year we just have that, a lot of snow and a lot of runoff. So I think if we just can get, you know, 10 days of above freezing, this stuff can go pretty quick, but we'll find out.
You bet. I think we're going to see some pretty good fishing for a lot of different species of fish this year. And importantly, like you mentioned earlier, the lakes are going to fill back up, because a lot of this water, the ground isn't froze out there this winter, and a lot of that water is going to go right back in the water table, which will bring the lakes up.
Yeah, this, you know, this snow, I think for the water levels and everything else, I think it's going to work out pretty well for the spring.
I know you guide for hunting, too, for bear hunting and everything else. Do you think this winter is going to have any effect on the hunting this next fall?
You know, I don't think it will for any of the bear hunting portions of that.
Well, Jim, anybody's looking for a guide service, I know you and both your boys guide, and sometimes I work with you guys, too, even. But if you want, somebody wants information on your guide service or Tom's or anybody, how do they get a hold of you?
Best way, you could go to my website. It's haywardguideservice.com, and or cell number 715-558-9719.
Well, thanks a lot, Jim, for taking the time with that great information here with our listeners.
Thank you, John.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at WNORadio.com. And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me. I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.